Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure do.
Absolutely.
We force you to listen every single week.
Yep. Here you are again against your will.
Yep. Welcome.
Yeah. Good job for obeying.
Daniel, what do we do every week besides read the comic book, the trade?
We read other comics and watch TV and stuff.
Yeah, we do that.
Watch some movies.
But this is also the prime source to get your news a little bit late than when you probably saw it, if you're even connected to comic book news.
Yeah. If not, here it is.
Here it is.
Nathan, sad news.
Oh, God. I didn't have like any news this week. Okay, sad news. Hit me with it.
Actor Lance Reddick.
Oh, yeah.
Died at age 60.
Yeah.
He was Sharon in the John Wick franchise, and he was featured in the John Wick comic that we read a mere 2 weeks ago.
And I liked his character in it.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff come out from him. Apparently, he was a voice actor for like a general dude in Destiny 2.
Yeah, and apparently he's a big fan of just Destiny in general.
Yeah, and it was cool because I saw a bunch of like videos of people load into like Destiny, and there's like a spot where you can go and you'll see just like random players that are also in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And they were just like all sitting around like Lance Reddick's voice acted character, and they were like interacting with him like still, you know, which is kind of cool. It was a cool way to like honor Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
With like some of the cool stuff that he's done. He's done a lot of voice acting stuff, I guess.
So. I think he was to play Hellboy in like the Hellboy video game.
That would have been cool too. Yeah.
It is going to be cool, Nathan, because it's... I'm pretty sure...
He's
currently, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That'll be cool then.
Yeah.
He's been in like a lot of stuff that I'm just like familiar with, but without me even knowing, you know?
Right.
And yeah, so like John Wick, I guess, I never thought like, oh, who's that guy? Or same thing with like Destiny, I played a little bit of. He was on like the Eric Andre show for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. And yeah, lots of stuff. Too young.
Yeah.
Daniel, the 12-year-old Cocaine Bear star unveils a new comic book she created and co-authored.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the in the movie Cocaine Bear, great movie, there's a little girl that gets like kidnapped for a little bit.
Not Sweet Tooth. Okay.
That is Sweet Tooth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, not Sweet Tooth. It's the girl.
Right.
Brooklyn Prince, who is going to be debuting Misfortune's Eye, which Sumerian Comics will debut next week at MegaCon in Orlando.
Huh.
Which is pretty interesting. So she's 12 years old and she's like throwing out comic books. She like made a pitch and like Sumerian Comics picked it up.
Wow.
So pretty cool.
Nice. Living the dream.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Apparently, the Zack Snyder comic book continuation of the Snyder stuff is not happening anymore.
Yeah.
Was officially?
I thought it was like because some kids were trying to do it, but they're really just like ripping off a lot of artwork and stuff like that. Remember that?
No, this was going to be like the Zack Snyder, Jim Lee like comic book.
It's not happening?
Yeah, I guess it's not happening anymore.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see, especially... like just getting Jim Lee back on a book, you know?
Yeah.
Just for like a solid 5, you know, 6 issues, whatever they plan on that being. So, or even like a graphic novel. But yeah, big bummer. I don't know what.
Maybe Zack Snyder made it like 20 issues long, you know?
And Jim's like, I can't do this.
Dude, that's a lot of fucking work.
He's like, yeah, I got to run like all of DC editorial pretty much.
I have 9 kids. Like I can't handle it. 9
kids for some reason.
Yeah.
I got to stream every once in a while on Twitch for some reason.
4 dogs. Like it's too much.
He does have a lot going on.
Keep himself busy. I saw like an ad for something that comes out this month. It was like a Conjuring comic book.
That sounds cool.
Have we talked about that?
We might have a little bit. Rings a bell.
But it's like a part of the DC's horror.
Yeah.
Like imprint thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like Black Label or
maybe I think it's like Black Label, but they have like a little horror part of it. But yeah.
And so it's like a prequel to The Conjuring 3, which is subtitled The Devil Made Me Do It. So it's like a prequel up to that.
That's cool.
So I'm between 2 and 3, I guess.
I like the first Conjuring.
I think they're releasing it as like a graphic novel, which is cool.
Neat.
And so we'll see how that is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also written by like the screenwriters of like those movies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is cool. And they have like some backups stories by like Scott Snyder and Tim Seeley.
Wow.
Like separately, but that's cool. There's some other people, but those are the only ones
I like that because it feels like they wanted to get like a story, like there was more story to tell from like Conjuring 3, and they were like, a comic book would probably be a good medium for this.
Sure.
To like still visually display what's happening. Because I feel like when directors or writers for movies, you know, will base something off of like an existing property, it'll be like a sequel because they couldn't get a movie made or something, you know?
Yeah.
But doing it this way feels like it's very comics focused still, which is a good thing.
Hopefully.
And they got Scott Snyder and Tim Seeley on there, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I wonder how they'll do with, like, you know, those kind of movies being pretty reliant on, like, jump scares and things like that.
Just get a scary artist.
Scary artist.
Scary artist. And turn the page and then be like, boo. Write the word boo. Then remember when we were, like, trying to remember if it was Hawk Girl or Hawk Woman last week?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a Dawn of DC book coming out called Hawk Girl. So I don't know what's going on.
I knew it was Hawk Girl.
Was it me that said Hawk Woman?
Yes.
No, I'm pretty sure I said Hawk Girl, and you're like, I think it's Hawk Woman, and then we were like, that makes sense, because Hawk Man and Hawk Woman?
No, you said Hawk Woman, and I'm like, Hawk Girl?
Oh, okay.
And then you're like, well, what about like Superman and Supergirl? I'm like, I hope they're not together, because like, they're cousins.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, don't try and turn this around. I have the footage. Okay,
you had the knowledge. I just saw it and I was like, it is Hawk Girl.
Yeah.
But then I gaslit myself into thinking
that You looked it up too. Like, you had Google.
Well, I looked up Hawk Woman and it pulled up that same character. Well, I'll do it right now again just to make sure I'm not crazy.
No, I need to see like a cover of like a comic. Does it say Hawk Woman? No, it doesn't.
Let me see. Hold on. Hawk Woman comic.
They're like, did you mean Hawk Girl?
Okay, definitely Hawk Girl. I'm glad we could get to the bottom of this, Damien.
Yeah, glad we just solidified that right now. Okay,
cool. One last thing that I have. I forgot to bring this up last week, but the week before, we had a conversation where you were convinced that John Wick in the comic book John Wick said more in the John Wick comic books than he had in all of the consecutive three movies in total.
Uh-huh.
And I did the math.
You counted... Or did you find it somewhere?
I found a John Wick 1 script to find all of the words that he said.
Okay.
Because the bet was that you thought in John Wick, the comic book, he said more than all of the movies combined.
Okay.
I found that in John Wick 1, he says 511 words.
God, that's a lot of fucking words. Are you serious? That's
a lot of words, yes.
I don't believe that.
And in just the comic book, Daniel, he says 272 words.
How long did this take for you to figure
out? For a difference of 239 words in total that he says more in just the first movie, John Wick, than in the comic book.
I have to rewatch that fucking movie.
Daniel, if I remember correctly, we bet $10 on it.
All right.
Because you made me send you money, $10 for whatever it was that I lost money to.
I probably didn't even like deposit the $10 that you sent me.
Yeah, just send it right back. Send it's going to feel good.
Yep. You got it.
We'll just have a constant $10 back and forth on random comic book things. What did I lose to again? I can't even remember.
Whether or not the new actor for Stinger was like younger than the one Endgame.
Yeah, mine's more definitive and it has facts. So I feel even better about this.
Our bet was definitive. You just look up how old people were.
It felt like there was a bit of a gray area.
Okay. Well, you got me there.
I wrote down John Wick like at the very top of the notes this week so that I wouldn't forget this time. Yeah. So I was so angry because like I got in the car to leave and I was like, fuck, I forgot to talk about John Wick. But yes.
All right.
The hard deets are
out. I hope you're happy with yourself.
I am very happy. Now let's talk about the book that we read this week, Daniel.
Okay.
Daniel, this week we read New X-Men, which I found out was renamed New X-Men after the fact and was just X-Men before.
Correct.
Which I didn't know before, but yeah, New X-Men by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Couple other artists too for annuals and whatnot, but that's the main creative team.
So this is like, I don't know what volume, but it starts on issue 114.
Yep.
Of whatever run this is, the 2001-2004 run.
Yep.
Well, are you sure it wasn't called New X-Men?
Yes, because the volume, which is like when they renumbered it, this is technically like X-Men, like volume 2 from like the new renumbering.
Wasn't the new renumbering like the one that Jim Lee started?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be because this is like 100 and this is like 2001 or whatever. Okay.
And then Actually, does that line up? When did the... Didn't the...
Because, like, the covers say New X-Men on it. You know?
Yeah, because they've rebranded it, like, since then, apparently. Or they renamed it.
Where did you see this information?
On Marvel.com.
Why would they just call it New X-Men after renaming it? Why not just, like, leave it as, like, his X-Men run? You know?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm going to look up when X-Men 1 by Jim Lee came out.
That was, like, the 90s.
91. Okay, yeah. So that makes sense. That, like, it would start from there and then come to this. I guess right. I could also just go to my comic shop and make sure. I want to put the extra effort into this because there's a lot that happens in this comic book that I feel like made lasting impressions.
Yeah, because the one that started in 91 had 207 issues. So it must have been like rebranding.
Yeah, I think so. Dana, what did you think of this book?
So it's pretty good. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I think my favorite part was the annual. Which okay. I've never really said before, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the other ones are pretty, I don't know, straightforward, I guess, as far as the plot and whatnot. And I guess I had pretty high expectations from, you know, it being Grant Morrison. And I guess it's just been pretty high regarded. I feel like it definitely probably gets a lot better as like the series goes on.
It is a pretty long run to my understanding of like Grant Morrison on a book. So
dude, it still says like New X-Men on like the cover, but it was still like considered a part of this X-Men run.
Oh, okay. So then maybe they,
so there wasn't like a new, there wasn't like a New X-Men number one, you know, right. In before this,
they just called it New X-Men, but it was still continuing the previous numbering.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish they did that more.
Really?
Kind of. Yeah, I'm a little bothered by a lot of just renumberings and stuff. I love
a reboot, just like Predator. Yes, yeah, right back at one.
Same,
you know?
But now it's
within the same year.
It's a pretty good comic book, by the way. We'll talk about it later in the poll list. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like I like when that happens, when there's like a reboot and you're like, okay, number one, I should be able to pick this up. But sometimes that's not the case.
Like when Marvel was doing like the legacy numbering. Did you like that?
That was better, I felt like.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that they had like both numbers on there.
Yeah, and you could just be like, okay, this is... But then there's like a little bit of fuzziness of like what's, you know...
Considered an issue.
In continuity and what's considered an issue. But then there's like number ones that are still like reliant on things that happened in previous series. So now you can't like trust new number ones anymore.
Yeah, like you want it to be like a reboot.
Like you should be able to come in fresh, you know, not really knowing much or at least having a vague understanding of the character, which I think this does pretty well. Like you can just jump into this.
Yeah.
And it feels pretty new. Like you don't need to know what happened the issue before kind of deal.
Yeah. So this was cool because it was a pretty small team, which is neat. And
yeah.
I felt like a lot of the ideas in here felt a lot like the movies, you know?
Yeah, the movies definitely drew from a lot of these ideas.
The thing I liked about the annual is that there was just like ideas that were new to me about mutants. And that's what I thought was really cool about it. And so it was a little strange seeing Frank Quitely do these characters.
I agree.
Not that it was like bad. It was just like, it's just something I know and then like something else I know and just kind of those things mixing. It was just like, and I've never seen it before. So it was a little odd to me. You know?
It is interesting seeing him do like licensed like characters, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean,
existing properties, like seeing him do like Beast is interesting, you know?
He looks like a blue lion.
He does look like a blue lion. And that's what he looked like for a little, I don't even know what he looked like before this, to be honest.
More like a cat.
He looks like yeah, that's true. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he had more humanoid features.
Like on his face?
Yeah, like on his face.
Yeah,
and
not
stuff.
So much like a snout.
Yeah. But here he looks very feline. And so he took a particular style for I think a lot of characters as well. Mm-hmm. So that was always cool to see.
Yeah.
Plus he designed the new like costumes and everything, which I think looked pretty cool. So
leather jackets or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty good in general. So let's get into it. So we're introduced to Cassandra Nova.
In issue 114.
Yeah. We're introduced to Cassandra Nova. This is her first appearance. So it's good for context. Yeah. Okay. She's in a simulation with this dude named Dr. Trask showing the extinction of Neanderthals and compares it to Homo sapiens and mutants. So Neanderthals are extinct now. Homo sapiens somehow beat them in some ancient big war.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Neanderthals were like bigger and like supposedly stronger, Homo sapiens somehow won.
Strategy.
Who knows what happened? Yeah, strategy, I guess.
Brains over brawn, Nathan.
And then at the Xavier Institute, we see Xavier test out the worldwide mutant detector called Cerebra, which shows a big surge in Ecuador specifically. So he sends Wolverine and Cyclops there on their way back from saving a mutant named Ugly John, who's got three faces.
This is such a Grant Morrison.
That is mutant. The most Grant Morrison mutant. He might be my favorite now because he's a mutant, but he's one of those mutants that just have useless powers and he just has three faces and that's all.
Wasn't there? No, I'm thinking of the star, like the god. It looked like his head was always shaking.
Yeah. So this guy has three faces. He's got like three noses and shit too. It's very uncomfortable to look at.
Really smelling everything.
Mm-hmm. I like this intro page where it's like the double page spread and it's like, here's all the main characters kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Like here's people to focus on. And I thought that one was pretty cool. Does Cyclops look like handsome Squidward to you?
Yes, he does. Especially when he's in the...
When he's in the X-Wing, like yeah. This. Come on.
Absolutely.
It's such a weird, like, I look at that Cyclops and I'm like, I've never seen him look like that.
Why has he got his lips puckered like that?
He's got such a puckered lip he's got such a defined like jawline and it goes down. He's like such a big chin,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I like it. I think he's got like a very stoic sort of look to him. That's very Frank Quitely. So I like the design a lot. I just like was a little off put by it.
Right.
And Ugly John's a bit like to name him Ugly John. That's a little out of pocket.
Well,
he doesn't want to be like
surely
this.
Surely that's what people have called him with throughout his life, you know?
That's how they refer to him.
It's like Fat Amy, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Because
he knows.
But that's
knows
a little more empowering. She's like, yeah, I'm Fat Amy. You know, maybe it's... There's
same
a
thing
little,
with Ugly John.
He does not look very empowered by it. He's like, dude, I'm fucking ugly.
Yeah. You know?
And this is the first appearance of Cerebra, which I looked up.
Really?
Yeah. So... But more importantly, Daniel, it's Ugly John's first appearance.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So this is what really makes it.
I was very willing to track down his his history.
Yeah. So Jean notices a telepathic disturbance, which is Xavier battling over his own mind from someone that found Xavier through the Cerebra thing. Then in Ecuador, Cassandra Nova brings Donald Trask to a mold factory that just makes a bunch of sentinels, and there's like wild sentinels like wandering around and shit, and I think the idea is that they recognize Trask DNA, and so Cassandra wants Trask's future to be in like mutant genocide.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always kind of enjoyed this like comparison of like the Neanderthals to Homo sapiens and then now to Homo sapiens and like mutants.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of interesting because they're definitely like two different species that are coexisting at like the same hierarchical like level.
Yeah.
So I think that's.
I wonder if like early Homo sapiens thought like the Neanderthals were like almost like an apocalypse kind of thing. Like they're like zombies. Like they're like, oh, they're coming.
Like, holy shit, look at that one.
Yeah. An idea I liked in this is that no one's like really making new sentinels. And so there's a lot of sentinels that are still out there. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of upgrading themselves.
And they look so like fucked up, kind of.
Super creepy.
Like I'm used to the Sentinels that just look like big corny looking robots.
They're like the evil toys in Toy Story 1.
Dude,
you know?
You're right. Because this one looks like a fucking scorpion or something. Or like a cobra. That's with like sick. A bunch of like tank tracks on it. It looks really cool and really like scary because it shouldn't look like that.
Yeah, and Cassandra's just Sid in this context.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know what? Toy Story came out before this issue, so
dude,
Grant Morrison just totally ripped off.
Quietly's biting off Sid.
Toy Story.
Oh, man. I like how good Quietly is at, like, clothing texture. Like, I'm looking at, like, the X-Men, like, suits, and you could see that they're, like, a little bit puffy, and you could see, like the stitching and stuff on them.
Yeah.
And I like that aspect a lot. And you could tell that the movies, like... The X-Men, like 1 through 3, especially definitely like went off of this, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool that he was able to X-Men, inform them.
Didn't like the first X-Men come out in like 2001?
I don't know.
So it might have been like right around the same time.
It came out 2000.
Okay, so this is like a little after.
Okay, so maybe this the movie informed the film, because you said this came out in 2001?
Yeah, July.
Okay, interesting. Seems like they took a little bit of a different take on it.
You can get this issue for like $9.
Dude, I saw this at the comic shop today. Like, really? All of them. Or all not the first one, but this issue one, was it 115?
14?
No, the next one, 115. I saw this cover.
Oh, cool.
Like, and then I kept looking. I saw the annual one too is there.
Nice.
So I was like, damn, maybe I should pick these up.
Yeah.
You'd think like
a little show and tell on the pod.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I would like, I always hear about these like series that people like
praise.
Yeah, praise or like acclaim, and I'm like, damn, this must be super expensive. And then I just see them out in the wild and I'm like, couldn't I make like $100 off this or something? But
yeah,
it's almost never the case.
I was looking at
it's cool like, to have like that remnant of like history.
Yeah, definitely. Like I saw all of like Daredevil Born Again like in a pack, and yeah, it was like $60. I'm like, that's a good price.
That's a really good price. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like should I buy this?
Is this an investment?
Yeah,
flip it.
I was none of them were graded, they're all raw, but still.
Yeah, even the raw stuff I'd be down for.
I was looking up some issues of Tom King's work that I was missing on like my comic shop, and like the, you remember when he was on like Grayson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Grayson number one is like $6.
I believe that.
And there was a signed copy on there and it was $9. I'm like, so I don't even have to get it signed by him. I just buy, it signed.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I guess
we think of him.
We would need so Dick Grayson to be a spy in a movie or something for that to be popular or whatever. Cause but like,
it'll happen.
I feel like not a lot of people read that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not. I don't see people talking about it, but that was like one of my first comics, you know?
That's so interesting. Cause now he's very highly regarded. So I would think that that would like up the demand of something like that a little bit more.
He was like co-writing it, but I remember
But it was like his first DC thing, I'm pretty sure.
Was it? Okay.
Or maybe it was Omega Man.
No, I think Omega Man was after. I was really confused when I first started getting that book, cause I got a book that had a number one on it. And it was Grayson, but it ended up being the annual.
Oh.
And so when I read it, I'm like, this makes no fucking sense. And then number two just jumps right in the story, you know? And so I had to read number one digitally to understand what was happening.
You picked up annual number one thinking it was actual number one. And then you picked up number
two. And then three. And I'm like, someone should help me with
that's
this.
That's so fucked up. Yeah.
Like, hey, dipshit.
It should be like. Yeah, annual should be like, this is not like technically the main story.
It might have even said annual on it, but I didn't know what that meant.
I wouldn't either.
So.
Especially new, yeah.
Do they even do annuals anymore? I feel like I rarely see them.
They do, kind of.
It's like sometimes.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're gone for the most part. Like, I think.
Human Target had one. It was kind of like an annual, but like it was just like the spinoff.
Yeah, that's true.
One, which is essentially just an annual.
They typically have them for ongoing books to have like a little break for the, to be real, the artist to like have like a little gap in some work and catch up on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of annoying from like the reader perspective, but it does give an opportunity to tell just like a random one-off story which can be fun. But a lot of them kind of suck. But I guess it's because they also try and test out new talent a lot of the times, it feels like.
The Christopher Priest Deathstroke run, that was like before Rebirth.
Yeah.
I was reading that, and the best issue in that whole series is like the second annual.
That's so random.
And yeah, it totally is. I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And like,
yeah.
And I think I lent it to somebody and never got it back. And so. And I tried looking it up on Comixology because I know like the cover and it's like not on Comixology.
Oh,
so,
like, no.
It's like just lost in the ether or something.
Dude.
I'd have to find it at a random like.
Well, they don't have it on My Comic Shop?
I could probably get it on My Comic Shop.
Yeah.
If they have it in stock because it's such a random thing.
It is, the most random issue to be hunting down.
Right. I'm going to look it up now.
That's that's funny. Yeah. I mean, like there can definitely be some hidden gems in there. I think there's an annual of Extraordinary X-Men. Which is another X-Men title that's just in there. But it was Jeff Lemire's X-Men. And I think I remember really liking that annual as well. But I can't remember any other ones off the top of my head that I've like enjoyed more than like the normal series.
Oh, it's not in stock, Nathan.
Oh, no. Are you serious? Dude, yeah. You gotta go on the hunt now.
Yeah, that's the cover for it. the second Deathstroke annual.
Is it by Phil Hester?
I don't know. What does it say?
It says Hester on the front.
Let me see. Give it back.
Hold on.
If Phil Hester is on there, if I ever meet him, I'll be like, dude, I fucking love this book.
Written by Phil Hester.
Whoa!
Art by Mirko Kolak. So he doesn't do the art on it, but he wrote it, which is crazy.
Because I remember cover by Jorge Jimenez.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
This just planted the seeds for creators that you fully respect.
I remember thinking, I'm like, I don't know these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so funny to me. Because, like, you know how helpless I feel? That I just, like, can't get it, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know where to get it.
I think...
Anyone out there, Comic-Con, if you have a Deathstroke second annual, please let me know.
He'll buy it off you.
Double the cover price.
$100 minimum.
No.
You should hunt for it at Phoenix, whatever.
I've hunted down, like, singular comics at, like, Comic-Con before, and it's a nightmare.
It is kind of a... Well, I mean, if you're looking for, like, just Deathstroke books, there's not that many.
They have, like, decades of books in those long boxes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're normally alphabetized.
True.
So you can find
some. But not numerical order, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I will keep that in mind.
Okay, good tangent.
I'm going to put on my list. I have a comics list of things I'm missing.
I should get a hit list, too. There's a couple of things I could probably hunt down.
You don't have a hit list?
No, I don't. I'm just... If I ever miss something, I'm like, well...
I got Supergirl number 8.
that'll be available somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, marked up like crazy.
Daniel, issue 115. Wolverine, Cyclops, and John find the mold factory, and then they get shot down by wild sentinels. And inside the factory, Cassandra kills Donald Trask after simulating his DNA, which allows her to control sentinels now. And the way that Cassandra Nova kills this guy is so disturbing to me. Because she, like, phases her hand through his face and, like, goes out of his face. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's, like, her fingers going out of his mouth and, like, out of his nose. Is just...
Out of his eye, dude.
Out of his eye, out of his nose, out of his ear. Like,
yeah.
Most of the holes that you have on your face, she's got fingers through to, like, kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't enjoy. Also, their ship's called an X-Wing. Did you catch that?
No.
It's normally called, like, a...
The X-Jet or something?
Yeah, something like that. But they called this one specifically an X-Wing, and I'm like, it's a little Star Wars, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah. So I'm like, that's interesting. And when they get shot down, I really like this line where Wolverine's like, you got anything that can help us? And Ugly John's like, dude, I just have three faces. Like, what do you want from me? But I thought that was a pretty good sequence. So then Cyclops, Wolverine, and Ugly John are brought to Cassandra Nova. Cyclops and Wolverine break free and capture Cassandra Nova, but Ugly John is in, like, a ton of pain from getting shocked. So Cyclops just, like, offs him to, like, end his suffering, which is bizarre. I never thought I would, like, see something like that, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Apparently, Wolverine's claws pop at, like, 130 miles per hour. Did you know that?
That seems about right. Have you seen the movies?
Yeah, pretty fast.
Yeah, they go out pretty fast.
Yeah.
Can he control it, you think?
Yeah, because there's sometimes they come out real slow, you know?
Yeah, to, like, build suspense, you know, he's like...
And he'll pull out just one sometimes if he needs to start a car.
I love how creative it is, yeah. Start a car, that's right. Does he do that in the movies?
In the second one, yeah.
That's so funny. Do you like Wolverine claws if they are, like, razor blade kind of deal? Or do you like them if they're kind of more thicker, you know?
Like thin? No, they gotta be thicker, dude.
I kind of... like them when they're like razor blade kind of thin.
Really? They just seem like fragile. Are they razor blade here?
I don't know. I don't think they are. I think they're kind of thicker.
Dude, did you pick up that
No, they're a bit thicker.
Cyclops has like red contacts in?
Yeah, I don't... Why?
Is that like a backup?
I think it's a backup in case he loses his specs. But uh-huh. Like, I think he could still... I think he still, for the most part, has to close his eyes, even though he's got the contacts in.
Right.
So I don't really know what the point of the contacts are. Maybe it like makes him not as strong. If he has the contacts in and he still has to open his eyes or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would.
Because like, I feel like in some situations when his shit's off, it's like blasts like everywhere in all directions.
Yeah.
Maybe with contacts, it's like more precise.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. I love when like, I love just seeing like a big like Cyclops blast, you know, yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Did you talk about Genosha?
Yeah, so turns out Cassandra sent a bunch of wild sentinels to Genosha, which is where all the X-Men are hanging out, and kills about 16 million mutants on the island, including Magneto. Mm-hmm. And I really love this imagery of Xavier looking over the mutants, but not being able to like do anything because he's in like the Cerebro. Mm-hmm. But he like can feel it and see it kind of happening.
Yeah.
And this sentinel that's like taking down the island, there's like a couple of them, but they're so bizarre. I just love the designs of them and how freaky they are, because they look like they were just like fucked up like creations made by like other robots. So it's pretty cool.
Where do you see them?
So it's in like this panel right here where you
I thought that's like a ship or something.
No, that's like a sentinel. There's two of them there. There's one that looks that's like on all fours and it's not standing up, and that one's kind of so like the variations on the sentinels are very weird, because there's this one that looks like that one beast from like the Avengers movie, the big whale one, you know.
Yeah,
this one kind of gives off that vibe, but it's got like steam funnel things coming out of it.
Chitauri whale thing.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Very creative designs. Issue 116, Beast and Jean Grey are just searching the ruins of Genosha for survivors, and they find Emma Frost in her new diamond form carrying the body of Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Rip.
Yeah, big rip. I did not expect to see Negasonic in this.
Neither did I.
Whenever I read that name, I just think about the movie and when she like says it for the first time, and he's like, Deadpool's like, Negasonic Teenage, what the fuck? And I'm like, that's, yeah. So this is the first time Emma Frost has like the diamond skin.
Like canonically?
Canonically, yeah.
Okay,
in cool. Comics.
Because they ended up using that in like First Class?
First Class, yeah. So that's pretty cool. But it's all about like this idea of secondary mutations, which I think is interesting. So they're like new powers that can be added to mutants like later on.
Like Pokemon.
Kind of like Pokemon, like a second generation.
They're but evolving just, like, again.
They're evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting, because if you make an X-Men and they only have like one thing that they do, but people end up liking them, you could add like a secondary mutation. It could be anything, and it adds a little bit more like dynamicism to the character. Like,
is that the word?
Add more variety.
I think dynamic is like the root word, but I'm just trying to think of like how to use it as like an adjective.
Dynamism.
Dynamism?
Yeah, that's
dynamism.
Dynamicism is a word.
Say it again.
Dynamicism.
Okay, that sounded way more confident to where I believe you.
Okay, good. But no, like, because I feel like most popular superheroes have like multiple powers, you know?
Except for like, I'm trying to think of like, the first thing that comes to mind is like Wolverine. They don't really like make him better, but like they'll have like a Laura Kinney where she can have him come out of her foot or whatever.
Well, Wolverine has like a healing factor, and he's got the pop claws, and he's got pretty good smell, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are all things that play into his character pretty well. Or Spider-Man's got web shooters. He can climb the walls. He can...
One power, Nightcrawler. Just bamfs.
He also looks like a devil. That's a mutation.
That's not a power.
It's not a power, but it's a mutation.
You need a hat and a hat.
And also when he bamfs, there's brimstone that's left behind. Why? Who knows?
What's brimstone?
It's like the little smoke thing that's there after he bamfs.
It's not stones, Nathan. It's like gas.
Well, brimstone is like its own element.
Mm. I'm learning.
Yeah.
Nathan, how do you feel about the Emma Frost costume design here?
How old is she?
She is 19, probably.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Or good enough.
No, she's got to be like, wasn't she teaching a class earlier?
She was teaching a class, but like...
Let's go...
But
34.
How old are teachers nowadays, Daniel? They're like in their 20s.
22 at least. Because they need at least like the bachelor's.
I did like a presentation thing. Not a presentation thing, but I was doing a volunteer opportunity at a school. And the teacher there was 23. Younger than me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn it. Who let you in here? But like...
Like, can you please sit with your classmates?
Yeah. Like, are you part of the class or what's up? They're like third graders. And but, yeah, so she does look super young. And there's a thing that happens later, and I'm like, she must be older.
She's like, she's clearly like of age, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, so that's fine, I guess.
But like, you know, Frank Quitely will definitely make petite women petite, you know, and then big dudes really big.
Yeah. So in comparison, especially to Beast, she looks pretty young, we'll say.
Yeah, but she's got she doesn't have a shirt on, Nathan. She's got this sticky boob thing that makes necks.
Yes. But the fact that it makes an X, that's fine.
Hilarious.
I think that's enough to be like, okay, they tried something with this design and it's fine.
I think it's very impractical.
I think this is different from like the Power Girl, you know, like boob window.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why is that there? But there's a purpose for this Emma Frost shit because they're trying to make an X.
No, dude, even though
it's still horny.
The one later, dude.
What, in the annual?
No, just like the later issues to where it's like...
Oh, the negative space.
The negative space X?
Yeah.
Genius.
Okay, that's enough.
It's kind of like...
You're teetering the line a little bit of like a little bit too horny, but that's enough.
It's like the Invisible Woman like boob window where it's like a 4 in the negative space. You remember that one? Everyone fucking hated it.
That was so funny.
Oh my God. I love costume designs.
Costume designs are so funny, especially when they're so bad.
The thing with like Emma Frost is that she's never had a very consistent, you know, costume. Like everyone kind of does like their own thing in a way.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Like she's it's like she almost has like style, you know?
Have you seen those covers that are like Russell Dowderman and it's like a specific character and it's like all the costume variations.
Yeah, those are the best.
There's an Emma Frost one. There's so much variety there.
I wonder if these made it in.
I think they did. Surely they would have, right?
I gotta look
it up. This is some of the most Emma Frost.
You thinking of Rogue?
No, Rogue had one. Jean Grey had one. I'm pretty sure Emma Frost had one. Yeah. So she's had a lot of...
There's a Meek coat with a X that's negative space.
Okay,
so the negative space X that we're talking about, that is like the front and center one.
Okay.
But the first one is not in there. It's for Inferno number 3. So the original,
negative space one, that's right up in front.
Yeah.
So is that the quietly one?
No, the quietly one that we're seeing when she's like talking to Beast is not on there.
Oh, she does have a boob window one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes they make her wear like a corset type deal. Sometimes it's just a dress.
Yeah, or like...
Or just like a blazer with like a little thing.
I remember she's wearing, I can't remember what she's wearing in like Old Man Logan, but she was in that.
The consistent thing in these costumes is that there's always cleavage, which is interesting. There's not one without cleavage. And she's wearing white, I guess. Yeah. There's one where she's gold.
Mm.
And there's one in black, but.
My last name is Frost. I would only wear white.
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually a really good point. Yeah, so. Cassandra Nova is contained in like this gravitational bottle. That's what they call it. And Beast explains that he thinks that she's trying to wipe out the mutant race for dominance. And then she becomes conscious and overwhelms the X-Men with her telepathic powers and then threatens to kill all the mutants with the Cerebra that Xavier made. And there's this really fucked up part where she's like putting them all in like these different like telepathic scenarios, and there's one where Cyclops is put in like this bug room, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? It's like called the Black Bug Room, and he's just in a room with like a bunch of like ginormous like insects.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck kind of shit is this? And there's also this really cool moment where she like disintegrates Wolverine's arms.
Oh yeah, that's gross.
That's interesting.
There's a couple of things that I thought were kind of weird in this issue.
Okay.
So when they're on like Genosha and they're looking through like the wreckage or whatever, Jean Grey wants to like keep looking for mutants. And Beast is like, you know, these guys have been like digging for like ever. And she's like, I can compensate for my thin wrists and
move shit with my mind.
Yeah. But she's like, I have an extremely buff mind. And I'm like,
no, I think it's good.
No, it's not.
I think it's fine. Because it's like, I think she's comparing like the amount that she's able to lift is buff. It's not like she's working out her mind, even though she probably kind of is to an extent.
I don't like it.
I did not think anything of it. I think you're being a little critical.
Wolverine calls Charles Xavier Charlie. I thought that was weird.
That was weird. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like that.
You think that's weird?
Yeah. Because Charlie is like a.
It's like a kid's name.
Yeah, it's like a kid's name, or if you're an adult, you're not a very serious adult. But I think of Charles is very sophisticated, you know?
Yeah, they should call him just Chuck, yeah.
Chuck even, I think, is weird.
Really?
Charlie, I think, is the worst. Chuck, it's like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like if you were to try and call him, like, Zave or something like that.
Right.
So.
There's a part that I thought was kind of cool. I don't know if we're there yet, but Cyclops and like Jean Grey are in like a room just kind of watching TV. And something I thought that was really cool with the coloring is like when the TV is like not in the frame, you can still see like the glow from the TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's cool.
That is a cool effect.
How the fuck did you do that?
Because it's definitely like, that's a dark room.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Emma Frost comes in from behind and snaps Cassandra's neck. And then as she's like healing herself, Xavier shoots her to confirm that, like to actually like confirm the kill, I guess. I don't know. But he just like has a gun because he's like, what if someone takes over my mind? Then I need to kill myself, you know? So that's why he's got a gun. And then I guess Xavier makes a public appearance to out himself as a mutant and put an end to the masks, which is apparently a weird thing.
Does anyone have masks in the X-Men? Not really.
Cyclops?
Those are shades.
It's a visor, you know?
Yeah.
Wolverine does sometimes wear a mask. That's a big one. They all used to wear masks in the beginning.
Oh, did they?
With those campy costumes that had like the blue that went over them. I'm trying to think of anybody else though, like outside of that. And I think you're right. I think most of them kind of just raw dog it. really cool Emma Frost moment. She just comes up from behind and snaps her neck. I thought that was
no
fun.
Powers needed.
Big spoilers here, but I think I discovered something when I was going back and writing the notes. Okay. So at the end, it's revealed that Cassandra Nova takes over Charles Xavier's body, like inhabits his body. And I think it can be, I think this is presumably when she takes over Charles Xavier's mind. And I think Charles would be in Cassandra's body because it almost seems like when the neck is like snapped, she's like mumbling something. And I think it's supposed to be him saying like, I'm Charles. Because, well, his neck is snapped and he can't really form words very well. But I think he's trying to say, Charles is what he says. Okay. And I think he's trying to say, I'm Charles. And then he gets shot by Cassandra Nova. Which is
Charles'
so raw.
Body. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody nobody would have picked this up at the time. Surely. Yeah.
Only on like a reread of the trade, you'd pick this up.
Which is a really cool thing because there's not a lot that
he just straight up told us.
Yeah. He just tells us. He's like, oh, this is Charles. But it's like vague enough to like you just walk, you know, go right over it. But then if you were to reread this, you're like, damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
So like Cassandra Nova went in Charles Xavier's body and was like, oh, damn, I got a gun. You know?
Yeah.
Let me just shoot him. So I thought that was pretty crazy. And I'm kind of confused on like the state of like the X-Men. Like, does no one know that they're like X-Men on like all formed on like an island or like an institution?
I think they know they're on the island. I don't think they know them individually very well. And I think like the not knowing is what makes people kind of like fear them in a way or judge them.
Yeah.
And so.
So that's revealed on the TV. And then we go into the annual, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. A little weird to have an annual like kind of right in the middle of these.
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess it's just time for an annual. And so
it's kind of a nice break, I think, from this story.
Yeah.
Because I really like blew through this one.
I think the annual took me a little bit longer to read because there's a lot.
It is longer.
Yeah, it's all double page spreads, which is cool.
Oh, and they're sideways.
The whole comic is like sideways. So yeah. Everything's a double page spread, technically.
I'd fucking hate that.
I would hate it too.
It'd be a single page spread, Nathan. Like they're just sideways pages.
Okay. You know what? Valid.
Yeah. So I've read a comic like that. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is pretty annoying.
It was like in the new 52 Justice League or something.
Didn't that one go upside down too?
Yeah. It like made you turn the book. I'm like, fuck this book.
It's an interesting idea, but so annoying.
I think I've also read a book that you read it, you know, one way and then it stops in the middle and then you got to like flip it over and then it reads the other way and then stops in the middle. I can't remember what it was.
That's dumb.
It was like Teen Titans or something. And I think like it was to show like two different point of views or something. Or like,
and then it meets at like a certain point in time.
Yeah. And then the middle pages were like the end of like that issue or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was still kind of dumb, but
I think that works better because at least you can.
I'd like it more than this.
Yeah. True.
I would have to like read it like a fucking newspaper or something.
Grant Morrison, he's always trying to do something interesting and whatever. Yeah. So, but this is with Lionel Francis Hugh.
Yeah.
Who's a great artist. And this is the first appearance of Zorn, who's a pretty big proponent of Morrison's run, to my understanding, because there's a lot of people that like Zorn. And so anyway, there's a Chinese officer named Ao Jun who is trying to sell a captive mutant named Zorn. The X-Men go to Hong Kong to try and prevent this sale with Domino. And then there's this business dude named Sublime who created the U-Men, which is normal people that are grafted with mutant organs to give them, to give normal people mutant powers, essentially.
Yeah. And the professor is like, has been spending time in like Asia to kind of prevent these sort of things, like for mutants' rights and whatnot.
Yeah.
And a lot of these organs are sold in like the black market and then end up to this dude.
Right. Which is an interesting concept, because it's like, surely there, if you're living in a world with people with superpowers, you'd be like, how do I get superpowers? You know?
Yeah.
And so this guy, Mr. Sublime, is like, I'll give you some superpowers. So Domino and Wolverine go in to disrupt the sale, and Domino is attacked by failed U-Men experiments. And they're like pretty fucked up looking people.
Yeah, dude. There's like these people who, there's this dude, and whatever his hair or like dead skin falls off of him, those things turn into people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's that's such a cool fucking idea, I think.
Yeah.
You're talking about the robots?
Not the robots yet, but
they call U-Men call themselves Homo Perfectus.
That's awesome. I was talking about these guys.
Yeah, no, those are the like the flake people.
Okay, yeah. So that's pretty gross looking. And then Wolverine like comes in to, you know, save her and slice some people up. And I've written here, Wolverine straight up murders desperate people that had a momentary lapse in judgment to become U-Men. These are like people that just wanted some superpowers, and they're like, this guy sells it pretty well.
They committed to it too.
And they did, and then Wolverine chops him up.
Does Domino have like a laser eye?
No.
Did you know that?
No.
Are you telling me she does not have one? Because I'm looking at a page where she has it.
Oh, you know, I've seen that effect before.
Where she actually just slices those dudes up with her laser eye?
I don't know enough about Domino, I'll be honest. I know she's got the whole luck thing going for her. There's a really cool panel where she's like, I guess we got to jump out this window. I hope we'll survive. And then they jump out the window and there's a pool below them. And I thought that was pretty fun. But Cyclops, Emma Frost, and Beast are investigating like a murder separately from what Wolverine and Domino are doing.
Real quick. They pull up in an invisible car,
which is the invisible boatmobile, pretty much.
How do you park the invisible car? You know,
just in a parking spot.
You can't see the cars and how close you are to the other cars.
Oh,
and what if other people want to take the spot that you're in, they don't see a car there?
That's a good point. But what if it's dark? Can you turn on the headlights still? Where do the headlights start?
Invisible light. No, because
that's not a thing.
maybe the
light is meant to be visible, Daniel.
they just see lights showing up, but there's no car behind
them. Out of nowhere. Are there brake lights? I guess you wouldn't.
No.
What's the point of this?
I thought this
was a good idea.
It's very funny, though.
It's very funny. Just like the fact that they have it is bizarre. So they find like a U-Men operating room, which is, there's a U-Men that looks like a big fucking centipede. Very nightmare fuel, if you ask me. And they have like the key to unlock Zorn because he's in like a bunch of restraints because his brain is made from like a sun.
He's got a sun in his head.
A sun in his head, which is crazy. And some U-Men start to betray Ao Jun and they kill him. I don't really know what's going on throughout like the course of the sale. There's like a lot that kind of happens. But there's a weird moment where Emma Frost flirts with Cyclops despite him being married to Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and I guess Cyclops committed to celibacy.
Yeah.
And then Emma Frost is like, oh, tell me about the celibacy stuff.
Yeah, with a bottle of wine or whatever.
Yeah. And I feel like here she looks much older, but I feel like in the Quietly stuff, she definitely looks younger. And so I'm a little confused. I didn't even know this was Emma Frost really at first. So
a few things.
Yeah.
They're like in this like, I don't know, room, and Beast is just watching Star Wars.
There is a Star Wars thing in the background, which I thought was cool.
Sick. Good stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
So I didn't realize that like Emma could like read objects. So like she gets that key or whatever and is able to see like some of the history behind the key. So she's basically just like Tony Chu without eating it.
Yeah, that seems like a little much.
Yeah. So she's seeing like, I don't know, just all these things that have to do with like this
the
key.
History of the object. Okay.
Yeah. And then later when you're talking about Cyclops and he's like laying in bed, Jean Grey can access his mind to a point where she can almost project herself in front of him.
She can do like a telepathic FaceTime.
Yeah, I wrote that down exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which would be kind of annoying because he's like about to fall asleep, it looks like, and then, you know, she calls him.
Right, yeah. And so I thought that was kind of funny.
I do like the visualization of that, though. I think that's kind of cool.
Right.
Zorn gets like released and he's about to commit suicide, which would just be like a big explosion. But Cyclops is like, you should just join the X-Men instead. And then he does. And that's very nice. And that's pretty much what happens in this annual. I love how powerful Zorn seems, because once they discovered his powers, they just built a fortress around him to keep him contained, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I like that idea a lot.
So does Cyclops only have like one working eye here?
He mentioned he has a good eye.
Right.
That seems dumb. And it was definitely shown visually.
Because like in this one, it looks like only one of his eyes is like steaming after using it.
Yeah, he does have a little steamy eye, doesn't he? It seems like visually represented as two of his eyes working. When he kills Ugly John, I'm pulling it up again. But when he uses his visor, it kind of just converges in the middle. But like, look at this panel where he's killing Ugly John. It's definitely coming out of both eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't really know. I don't know, to be honest. I've always known it being like two eyes.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I didn't realize that Domino ever did like anything with like the X-Men. So this is like kind of an interesting issue.
I think she is an X-Men. She's a mutant.
She's a mutant, doesn't mean she's an X-Men.
Yeah, true.
She could be in like X-Force.
She could be in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like Domino. She had a solo series that I guess was pretty good.
I read the first issue and it was okay.
Was it by Becky Cloonan?
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, pretty cool annual. First appearance is Zorn. He becomes pretty popular later, but pretty cool. Issue 117, Daniel.
This is the one done by Ethan Van Sciver.
Yep. Skyver. Yes. He was on some Green Lantern stuff.
Ooh.
With Geoff Johns. Issue 117. Beast introduces a new mutant to the school, and he's named himself the Beak because he looks like a bird.
Yep.
He's got
a beak.
It looks like a bird and a person fucked, and then this is what happened, you know?
Yeah, or if like a bird was wrapped in like human skin.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it too.
Pretty gross still.
He really got creative with like mutants and like how that would just be fucked up most of the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of really weird looking ones here.
Yeah, so like we see you can see like some people rioting outside the Xavier Institution, but meanwhile on the inside there's a bunch of people like having fun or like just walking around the school. You see Glob, which is one of my favorite X-Men. He's the guy that's big bag of meat and you could see his skeleton and organs and shit.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of like screen time and the Extraordinary X-Men run by Lemire. So I like him a lot. But I don't know who most of these other people are. They're probably not even named. So
there's the protesters have like a lot of pretty funny signs.
I didn't even read them.
It's like, it's not murder if it's a mutant.
Oh man.
And I'm like, damn. And it's like, protect the human race and God hates mutants.
Have your babies tested.
Yeah, I know.
Damn, that's crazy. And Beast gets broken up with because he looks like a beast.
Yep.
And poor Beast is like getting ready for a date with Trish. And then
Trish tux
and he's like, I'm ready. I'm wearing my cologne. And then Trish is like, people are calling this bestiality, so I can't really do this anymore. And that's valid, but that sucks for Beast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, poor Beast. Jean Grey goes to Wolverine to vent about her marriage, and then Wolverine kisses Jean and then says that her and Scott are better together, which I think is confusing.
Yeah, he's like, it would never work between us.
We don't really know
if he kisses her or if she kisses him.
She doesn't seem pissed about it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
That would warrant like a slap or something. But yeah, a little confusing. I think this is like prime love triangle time for them.
Probably.
So. Which is interesting, you know.
I think there should always be a love triangle.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they even talk about it a lot in like the Hickman like run of stuff. So it's like it's like a prominent thing. Beast has a chat with Xavier about Cassandra Nova's autopsy and discovers that Nova is like a DNA match to Xavier. And then Cassandra reveals that she's a genetic twin and has been inhabiting Xavier's body this whole time. What a surprise. And
then, oh my goodness.
And then Cassandra telepathically subdues Beast and then makes him like do a bunch of like weird shit. And then takes over the mind of the Beak and makes the Beak beat Beast with a baseball bat. Makes the Beak beat Beast with a baseball bat, Daniel. So there's a lot of cool things I think that happened in this whole sequence. Like as soon as like that moment happens, like the lettering changes, which I think is a cool effect, and it seems very evil.
And he's just got like red eyes.
And like it's not only like physical damage, there's like crazy psychological damage, it feels like. Like Beast is like being forced to like use a litter tray.
And yeah, that's gross.
And Cassandra's like, you're just gonna keep devolving until you're like a worm and shit. And then also just like the stuff with the Beak, who's like brand new. Just got into like the mutant stuff.
His only friend is the teacher.
And there's like this funny moment before this where Beast is like, oh, the Beak likes me so much that he wants to give me his titanium baseball bat.
Yeah.
Which seems like it's definitely setting up for this point, but it's funny to like talk about how strong this baseball bat is before this happens.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, Xavier's like, yeah, I'm going to go on vacation with my Shi'ar alien girlfriend, which I had no idea about.
Yeah.
And
he gets picked up in a ship.
In an alien spaceship. And Jean's like,
but it's actually Cassandra or whatever.
And Cassandra's like playing off as Xavier. And he's like, I know I just outed all of us as mutants, but like, I just need a vacation.
Yeah.
And no one thinks that's weird. But
do you know any of these people in this like beam of light? There's like a elephant man. There's one of those, Booster Gold in there.
One of those. Yes. What's his name? He's like the only Shi'ar alien that's like important. It's the one with the mohawk. Is it Gladiator?
Doesn't sound that important.
Yep, Gladiator.
Oh, okay.
So I've seen him in like stuff, but yeah, I think this is all the Imperial Guard. I think they only really got like written in, there was like a Shi'ar and Kree war. So there was like Inhumans involved. I never really read it. It was like there was like a whole event. I read like the first couple issues and it was so tiring to read because it's like bad parts of Cosmic Marvel, I feel like, where it's just like alien. It's like focused on like Shi'ar and I'm like, I just don't care about them that much.
Yeah.
And they're also focusing on the Kree, but I think they were trying to not focus specifically on Inhumans that much. And it's like, if I'm going to read something Kree, I want it to be Inhuman. So
are Inhumans Kree?
Yes.
Aren't Kree blue?
Yes.
Okay.
Inhumans are a race that the Kree made or something.
All right.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. But that's the end of the trade, Daniel.
All right, let's get in Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Daniel, we just have the Volume 1 trade, so there's one page of Back Matter.
Yep, got to earn the rest, I guess.
Yeah, we got to get the whole fucking omnibus. But this one at least has a Frank Quitely sketchbook, which is what I would have wanted. Yep. For one page, so
better than nothing.
So you see a lot of the initial concepts for the designs of the costumes and all the notes that he has. I like when they have notes, like they've drawn something and they're like, here's the idea for this, you know.
Yeah,
like for Wolverine, they're just gonna,
dude, it says like for Wolverine, it says open for chest action. When he keeps his jacket
he's
open,
he's got a hairy ass chest, you gotta show that. Or like hair gets wilder in action, you know.
Yeah, I like how he's basically just got to be like a fashion designer, you know, when making new X-Men designs.
Which is cool. Like, I almost feel like he is.
It's probably pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Cyclops has to have like a little zipper.
Yep.
So, pretty cool. But that's the only back matter we had.
Boo.
So, Dan, what would you rate this book?
Nathan, I think if I read on, you know, Grant Morrison's run, and I kept, you know, finished it or just read a couple more trades, I would give it like, I love it overall, but I think just for this trade, I give it a like it.
Okay.
With Cherry Garcia ice cream.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, really good. You don't get it all the time. It's different, you know, but you're with a size like it, you kind of always want a little bit more. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, I sure gotta love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'll also give it a like it, but I'll just do lots of different toppings for all the lots of different X-Men. Yeah, I'll do lots of different toppings for all the different X-Men.
There's only like five, so you get five toppings.
Five toppings. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I like that. But I agree. I think this is like one of his more highly regarded things for like the length.
Yeah, I can appreciate it. It definitely feels like a
like it was setting
like a
up.
Setup. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, what a wild way to get rid of Xavier, by the way. He's like,
yeah,
I'm going to go on a vacation with my alien girlfriend.
But also doesn't feel like it was so big to where, like, this felt like nothing, basically.
Yeah, this had, you know, a main villain for the arc. And yeah, then there's a
satisfying issues. Yeah, and
twist
like
at the end, which is a good, you know, cliffhanger.
It's definitely a chapter one, you know. And so, yeah, I can appreciate it.
Is there more quietly after this?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
I haven't either. Yeah, says Frank quietly.
Nice.
That's good.
I imagine he'd be on like a majority of it, and then maybe some filler artists here and there.
Yeah.
Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Yep. No, we just did Back Matter Matters.
Let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
A little bit of a light week for me.
You know, it's been a couple consecutive like light weeks to where I get like two things.
I think that's good because so I need to catch up.
When I go, you know, this Saturday, it'll have like 8 books total, you know. It'll just be like a normal week.
That's solid.
Yeah. Maybe even a trade.
I picked up Blue Book number 2.
Same.
By James Tynion and Oeming. I picked up Punisher number 10.
Oh.
This book has had such a weird publishing schedule because it's been out, I'm pretty sure, for over a year.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's only on like 10 right now.
Like a year and probably like 4 months, but there's been some... I think there was like a 3 month gap at one point. So yeah, I'm excited to read that. I think it ends at 12. So we're wrapping up there. It seems like it's about to wrap up.
Hmm.
Or maybe it ends at 10. I can't even remember. And then EXO Manowar number 1 by Becky Cloonan and Liam Sharp came out today.
Wow. You know what? I was just listening to an old episode where we were talking about Valiant and you mentioned that.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to read that. Haven't read a Valiant book in a long time. So maybe, you know, maybe they got some good stuff going on over there.
Maybe it's coming back.
Maybe it's coming back.
You know,
I do kind of like that era of Valiant where they were trying really hard. You know, they had Matt Kent on stuff. They had Jeff Lemire on stuff.
You know what I heard? I don't know where I heard this. It was either Drew was talking about it and I was in the room, or I heard it on a podcast. But the guys who, I guess there's like two dudes or something who like created Valiant, right? And they built it up, had all those titles coming out, and then they sold it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They just sold it. And then they, I guess, took that money and started a new publishing company called Bad Idea. Have you seen any of those or those ads or whatever? Yeah. So they're currently like doing that. And so I think whoever has Valiant right now is just trying to do something with it or whatever.
I thought for Valiant, when they were pushing Valiant really hard, like in the modern era, because there's like really old Valiant books.
Okay.
And I think those are the guys that you're talking about, the guys that sold it. But then I think it like went out of business for a little bit. And then there's two, I think it was another two guys, or maybe it was one guy that was like pretty rich. Uh-huh. And then they just really loved Valiant for some reason. So they brought it back up again.
Okay.
And now it's kind of like sustaining somewhat. So
they only have like one book a month.
Yeah, but it's like they're ongoing.
Sure.
But they have like editors there and stuff that are just only for Valiant. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to like see just the whole history of Valiant.
Right.
But those are books I picked up.
Did you get World's Finest number 13?
Oh, fuck. I missed that. Yikes.
Yikes.
I got to catch up on that book.
Awkward. Did you read anything?
I did. I read Predator number 1 by Ed Brisson.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very interesting book.
What happens?
Basically, it feels like the idea for just like a random sci-fi movie, but there's predators in it.
How so?
So there's people that were dropped onto an island, literally. Like these people came to consciousness falling onto an island, but they're from different points in time. Like there's somebody from 1997, from 2015, from 2022, 2047, like all sorts of like different times.
Yeah.
And they were dropped on an island and there's predators there.
Okay.
And they're just trying to figure out how to survive. But also every once in a while, there's like these care package looking things that parachute down and they just have like monsters in them.
So not a care package.
So it's not a care package. That's what they thought. And they're like, oh, maybe we should, you know, go check this out. And then other people there were like, maybe it's a trap. You know, we don't know what's going on, really.
Sounds like a really good video game.
I know. So I was like, this is such a, it's like a fun idea. It sounds like Ed Brisson got high and came up with this pitch kind of deal.
Probably, as he should.
But I'm liking it so far because it's very bloody. There's a lot of curse words. There's no like parental, you know, advisory thing.
It probably
on
says
there.
Like M or something. In
I
the
don't
corner
think
somewhere.
So. I think I remember looking and I was like, is there anything on there? But I'm enjoying it for like what it is. Like people die very, like, I don't know who's going to survive this series.
Have you ever seen the movie Predators?
Yeah, I think so. A long time ago.
What's the basis?
I don't know.
So
I couldn't tell you.
It's all kinds of people from all over the world and they're teleported to a planet, like a predator planet or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all being hunted down by the predators.
Oh, okay. That's what this is.
Yeah. So I think that's maybe where he's pulling some of that from.
Okay, cool.
So instead of the predator island, instead of like an island, it's like, instead of the predator planet, it's like an island, you know, on Earth.
I think it's a different planet.
You think so? Okay.
I can't tell because it just looks like a forest. I'm sure that's what the predator planet looks like.
That's correct, yeah.
But the predators look really cool. And there's two people in particular that have like, they're like a couple. They were brought there together. And they were like dedicated to studying predator like sightings.
Hmm.
And all of the predator sightings were in years from when those people were like sent to the predator planet. So like there was a sighting in 1997 and 2015 or whatever. So there's someone from a time period where there was a predator sighting sent to this planet, you know? Okay. So I was like, this is just interesting. I don't know where it's going to go, but I enjoyed the first issue.
That's cool. Cause like then the people at those sightings might've been like tagged or something.
Yeah.
To be chosen for this sort of thing.
Yeah. It seems like it, but they all seem like they're not all like military people. There's one that's like a construction worker, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. If you think about it, like just like the concept of predator and like, I don't know, things that happen in that world is so open-ended.
Yeah.
Like this, like people just go into an island for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you read?
I read Nemesis Reloaded #2.
Oh yeah, like the origin one.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's just fine.
It's better than the first one. In
the second issue, or the series.
The second series is better than the first series.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, this one went into like some more origin for Nemesis,
which is cool.
And I thought that part was cool. I didn't really care for what was happening like in the present necessarily.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
So yeah, but you read the second issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, and then I read Blue Book #2.
Oh, actually?
You
just read it today?
I read it today because I was like, I'm interested. And I thought each issue is going to be like a different alien sighting, but this one continued the story from before. And so I think different trades are different like alien sightings.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad I continued the one from issue one because it didn't wrap up really by any means. But
okay.
It looked like it could have.
Sure.
It was like a well-rounded first issue. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I wonder what the next one will be.
Anthology doesn't really seem like Tinian's like style, you know?
Yeah.
Even though this book seems like it could be set up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool.
Yeah. I really enjoy that because I like the fact that it's based on something that actually happened and he like clearly researched what was going on. At least I think.
That'd
I
be
know.
Super fun to research.
Yeah, it would be fun to research. Just like random like alien sightings and like why people are so convinced that this was like an actual alien sighting. But then putting that into like a story from their perspective is really cool. So I enjoy it. And there's a backup that was written like completely separate that was written and drawn by Avon Oeming. So,
oh, cool.
So that was cool. And I think the backups are all just like other mythological things in like the world, but they're not necessarily like aliens. So This one was like a origin for like the name of a building in like England or some shit. So
Weird.
Very interesting. But yeah, that's everything I read.
I read Human Target #5.
Nice.
Yeah, it was the Martian Manhunter one.
Cool. Yep.
Probably my least favorite issue, just because there was
there's
a little,
better ones.
It like there's all these like different points in time that he was telling stories about with like different people, and I just didn't really understand what was happening until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated it like after the end, but like during it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm reading and who's supposed to be talking right now, like the captions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty good. As far as manga, I read this new one called Baki.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard about it.
Nope.
It's basically like if Luther Strode was a manga.
Okay.
It's pretty fucking fun. So there's this like kid. He is in high school, but at night he is like an underground like martial arts champion.
Cool.
Yeah. And for some reason, like all these different...
Like only at night or just that's what he does at night?
Night and weekends, you know, I imagine. Remember, he's not at school.
Okay. So he is like that all the time. He doesn't just become that at night.
Yeah. And
okay.
And he's currently the champion. And the champion before him was like his dad.
Oh.
Yeah. So...
Bit of nepotism, perhaps.
Pretty hot in the home, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of tension. And for some reason, these people... Like martial arts people that are all super fucking jacked all around the world escape from prison at the same time and they get out super fucking easy, you know?
That's awesome.
And they just murder people that are like, you know, holding them in prisons and stuff like that just very easily. And they're all headed to Tokyo where this kid lives and to all compete in the tournament kind of thing. Yeah. And they're drawn like, Luther Strode is like just absolutely unrealistically jacked.
Sounds like a Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah, but it's really cool. It's a popular anime right now on like Netflix. Like it's a Netflix one. I don't know if it's a Netflix original.
Is it called Baki?
Yeah, I think so. That's like Baki.
Yeah,
ask Carter; he might know.
Okay,
like Baki has. I think his name is Baki. He has like this physique that I like strive for. At the gym, because he's not like too big.
Oh, okay.
But he's fucking shredded. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like it's on there. There's a second season.
Okay. Well. Yeah. So there's probably one or two seasons.
Yeah.
And
39 episodes. Wow.
Yeah. It's on Comixology Unlimited. And I think all of it's on there. There's like 27 volumes on there.
Cool.
So
they're all unlimited?
I think so.
Wow.
Which is like insane.
That is insane.
They're just giving them away.
How do they make money over there?
I don't know. Because I'm abusing this shit.
Because like who at Baki was like, yeah, let's put them all on unlimited. You know?
Well, they pay the people at Baki, you know, to stream it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I wonder what the business model there is. Is it like by download, maybe?
Perhaps. Or like, maybe it's we'll just give kind you of
10 cents a download.
Maybe it's just a flat fee kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, for a month or whatever. So cool. That one's pretty cool. I read this other one. It's called Remina, which is by Junji Ito.
Ooh.
You know, the horror.
The famous horror guy, yeah.
Mangaka or whatever. I guess like if you make manga, you're called a mangaka or something.
That's cool.
I learned that somewhere. And
we should call the comics people Kamaka.
Kamaka. But so Remina is a planet that is discovered by this astronomer. And the astronomer names the planet after his daughter, Remina, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they discover that the planet is like heading towards Earth. And that news like breaks out and people freak the fuck out.
I would too.
Yeah. And so, and on its way, stars and planets like disappear as it gets closer.
Oh.
And so people think that the astronomer and Remina, the daughter, like summoned it. Towards Earth or whatever.
And so they were like, oh, we'll tell them about it.
We got to fucking kill them, you know, so that it'll just stop coming.
Seems
or whatever.
A little ridiculous, but okay.
Yeah. It's the thing about Junji Ito is that his books are like, just like OGNs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not like 100 chapter mangas or whatever. They're just like one self-contained hardcover, really fucking nice.
Yeah.
Like $20 normally. And, so he's like kind of the go-to for self-contained books.
Right.
So I got that.
Is this one self-contained as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I read it in like an hour maybe.
Cool.
Yeah, super good. I liked it a lot. I don't think I liked it as much as like Uzumaki, which is I think what everyone thinks is his best work.
Oh, okay.
But I did want like a sci-fi horror thing and I was very excited by the idea of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought that and then read it like the next day or whatever.
That's cool.
And then I also bought he has a Frankenstein book. And so I just think like, and I've heard that his interpretation of the Frankenstein story is like one of the best like versions of that.
He's like pretty well regarded for his like body horror stuff, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I think that could be really cool.
Yeah.
If he does it, especially cool. a manga horror thing.
Of like Frankenstein, specifically a monster. Yeah.
Right. So we'll see how that goes. Pretty excited.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything, Nathan?
I started watching Cyberpunk Edgerunners,
mm-hmm.
which is apparently anime of the year for Crunchyroll. I'd like the Crunchyroll Awards or something like that.
Huh.
and pretty good so far. I don't know if you've heard of it at all, but based off the Cyberpunk like game, the property, I think it might have been a book too, but basically you can create cybernetic upgrades for yourself, and there's like different ones that are varying like costs and like different varieties, so you can have like a different hands that are like mechanical, or I don't know, different like legs or some shit that comes out of your eyes or something like that. So just like cybernetic upgrades pretty much that you can like pay for.
Okay.
And there's very much like a class system to it. But if you get too many cybernetic upgrades and you use them too often, you can become a cyber psycho and you just go insane pretty much.
Oh.
So the main character.
Either robot arms or robot legs?
Robot arms, I think.
Wrong.
Why?
Just imagine you're picking something up really, really heavy.
With your arms.
Break your back.
That's true. But imagine how many chin-ups you could do, you know?
A lot of chin-ups. But I don't know. Someone asked me that, and robot legs is now my answer forever. If it's ever asked again.
To be fair, if you're picking up something really heavy, your back is involved in that to like stay stiff. So imagine trying to like lift up a car and all you have are like cybernetic legs, you know? You're breaking your back. Also, your fingers wouldn't be able to hold it if it's that heavy, you know? There's finger strength involved.
I'm just thinking more like running and stuff.
When do you ever need to run fast?
In jumping.
When do you ever need to jump high?
Murderer.
Jump.
for running fast, murderer.
Okay, run away from murderer. Okay.
Yeah. Jump high, murderer.
Jump on
jump
top
away
of a house.
From the murderer.
Yeah, jump on a house. Okay. What if you need to arm wrestle someone?
Kick them.
Arm
wrestle them with my foot.
Kickbox instead.
Or no, you do that thing where you like lift your leg up and then like wrestle them.
The Indian leg wrestling or whatever.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I fucking wreck people on that.
Break their legs.
Yeah, snap them in half.
Fold them in half. Yeah, it's like pretty good. I don't know why it would be anime of the year quite yet. I'm about halfway through. It's like 10 episodes. They're all 20 minutes each. It's very horny.
That most
animes are, but this one's just like there will be two guys talking on a couch, and then like a naked woman comes in and just like sits on the couch too, and she's like, "I just took a shower," you know. So the art direction though is phenomenal. Like the main character finds like
Keanu Reeves.
No, he's not even the main character in the game. He's just a character. But the main character in the anime has like a spine cybernetic upgrade, which is like really rare or whatever.
That seems like a good one.
And he like just runs fast. That's like what it allows him to do. But when he's running fast, there's like the progression of like the movement, you know how that happens in comics where like it's one panel, but you see them multiple times.
Yeah.
That happens in motion. Like, but each one of those is like a color spectrum leading into like where he's currently at. I just think it's really cool art direction.
Huh.
It's very like neon and stuff like that too. So it's pretty solid so far.
Cool.
And I also watched the movie The Gentleman, as recommended by you.
Let's go. And like you, fucking 2 years ago.
You recommended it to me a while ago, and then you gave it to me as a present for my birthday.
Because you had not seen it. Yeah.
Because I had not seen it.
Wow.
And to be fair, I did try and watch it that same month when you gave it to me, but I was wrapping presents for Christmas and I didn't realize the movie would need all of my attention. So
100%.
It's been sitting in my Xbox since December.
Wow.
And we just found the time to watch it. And it's pretty good. It feels like a British The Departed.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because there's like a lot of different characters. You don't really know why they're there or like what their role is until like the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Really good Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, he's the best. He's
like
so fun.
There might be like it's like that. It's like up there with Interstellar. I don't even like Matthew McConaughey that much, to be honest. But
sure.
Like when he gets like furious, it's like it's super cool.
Yeah.
And it was like fun at like the same time. Like the part is not like fun. It's very dramatic and serious the whole time.
Kind of dark, yeah.
But this is like The Departed. It had like a little bit of like comedic beats to it and stuff like that.
Right.
Like I really like that scene where they have to like get all the kids' phones because they were documenting. They were like taking pictures and selfies with like that dead kid
that
they were trying to cover up. And so it's just Charlie Hunnam just like booking it, trying to get after this kid.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I think that's like, what's his name?
Guy Ritchie.
No,
who's that? Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam.
Penguin.
Oh.
First letter.
C.
That's what I was fucking thinking.
first letter of the last name?
No, first name.
Oh, I gave you the first name. Do you want?
Yeah.
F.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Yep.
That's like.
He's really fun in this.
That's like my favorite role of his because he's so fucking funny.
He is so
like he's hilarious. Beats some kids in like a deli or something.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I think I'm just a sucker for like British gangsters.
Yeah.
It never gets old for me.
And this guy's so witty, you know?
Guy Ritchie has like four of those movies and I love all of them.
With British gangsters?
British gangsters, yeah. Yeah. It's just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like a lot of, it's kind of an ensemble cast, obviously, and they all feel like they have strong roles in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of cool, like, the lengths that people go to do to make like his like business like decrease in value just so they could buy it, you know? Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting idea.
Yeah, so there's a lot of really cool stuff in it. I just like that movie a lot, and I'm like, I don't think anyone's talking about this. And
yeah, it feels like it would be more popular, but I don't know, maybe just the fact that it
came out like in January 2020. And
oh,
so it was just kind of a shaky time.
Yeah,
a lot of movies like don't really like a lot of studios don't put their big hitters out in January.
Yeah,
and also with everything closing in like March wasn't great. I'm sure its theatrical run would have been over by then.
Yeah,
but that was like one of the first movies I saw that I like streamed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
like during quarantine when it first started, and I just watched it. I'm like, this is so good.
Yeah, really good.
And so I'm glad you watched it. Next up is Good Omens, Nathan. You just need to watch that.
Dude, I really don't want to watch that show.
Dude.
Just
watch one fucking episode, and if you don't like it, okay. You don't like
All
it.
All right. That I can commit to.
Yeah. Okay. Even if you do, just watch the first episode.
Because I'm not big into like, I don't even know what it's about, to be
theology
honest.
Theology or whatever?
Yeah, theology.
Because I think it's only like 6 episodes, which is not a big commitment. Okay, they're hour-long episodes, but there's only 6. You know what I mean?
6 hours of my life?
Yeah.
David Tennant is in it. He's pretty good.
David Tennant, favorite role of his.
Favorite?
Favorite.
More than Doctor Who?
You're such
a big Doctor Who fan, Daniel.
He's got this tattoo or something, and it's so sick. I'm like, I want that tattoo just because of his performance, but he's like the devil. Or, you know, he's like a demon. I'm like, I probably shouldn't get a demon tattoo, you know?
Nah, it'd be fine.
But yeah, it'd be fine. And it's on his face, but whatever. Nathan, I watched Creed 3.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Creed?
Sarah said that she...
In theaters?
In theaters, yeah.
Wow.
So I saw it with Sarah. It was a movie that she wanted to see. She would leave me for Michael B. Jordan and Mark Ruffalo. So we had to go see the new Michael B. Jordan movie.
Okay.
So...
Those are the two people?
Yeah, that's like a...
Mark Ruffalo, really?
Yeah, I get it.
I get it too, but that's no one of all the people's bucket lists. He probably shows up on like 1% of people, maybe less.
It's definitely like a daddy aesthetic kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
like a comforting kind of aesthetic. But
and
okay,
I would leave her for Michael B. Jordan. You know what I mean?
So yeah, anybody would. He's on 99%.
You know? Right. I would even say 100. Like, who doesn't now?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I don't have a ton to say about it. Like, Jonathan Majors is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time he's on screen, I had just, like, anxiety. You know what I mean?
Really? Cool.
Because, like, have you seen the preview at all?
Yeah, I know roughly what it was about.
Yeah, so, like, I'm like, he's going to fuck something up. He's going to fuck something up for, you know, Adonis, which is, like, his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just playing, like, this bad guy, like, really well. And he definitely flip-flops between, like, the friend and foe thing, like,
yeah,
super well.
Seems a bit two-faced.
And, yeah, he just played, like, this character, like, incredibly.
Seems like it. Super buff.
Yeah, absolutely huge.
There's a big, like, push or emphasis that he directed it because he likes anime or, like, it has anime sort of feeling scenes.
There was a couple anime influences in here that I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was, like, one part where... Jonathan Majors like punches him in the stomach. He's like, oh, you know, like yeah. One of those.
Is he like talking about everything he's going to do before he does it?
No. And they just stand and stare at each other yeah. for like 3 episodes.
Or like there's something that happens and he's like, oh, you know,
nothing like that.
Okay.
There's like another cool thing where like in that same stomach shot, like the sweat like bounces off his back.
Yeah, I saw that
in
the trailers.
Slow motion, shit like that.
Yeah, cool cinematography.
There's this one round that they did at the end of the movie where it's like, it's almost like they went to this like shadow realm kind of thing where there's like a bunch of clouds like all around them. Like the crowd like basically disappears and it's just them.
That's cool.
And that was kind of cool. I'm like, this seems like a...
Seems like what would be happening.
Yeah. And so...
Because whenever you're doing something like that. Like, if you've ever been in sports, you're not listening to the crowd.
No.
You're just focused on what you're doing. So I like that would be what it feels like.
So we went with people that have not seen Creed 1 or Creed 2. And they're like, oh, that was really good. We should watch 1 and 2. I'm like, they're the same movie. You know, because it's like...
They're just Rocky movies.
They're just Rocky movies. Like, there's a fight. And then, you know, later there's another fight at the end. And the main character wins. Yeah. I think in actual Rocky, he loses.
In the first Rocky, he loses.
Right.
Second movie, he wins. Third movie kind of sucks, I think.
Right. And so...
But I've seen the first two.
Yeah. So it was good. I still liked it. I still wanted to like go lift afterwards, you know?
Cool.
It did the classic like training montage where it's like, damn, that looks hard, you know? Yeah.
Did it have good music? Good score? Catchy, at least?
There was like songs I didn't know. I'm like, that's a good fucking song. You know what I mean? Hmm. So yeah, pretty good.
Cool. So I have not seen any Creed. So no but Creed? It's on HBO Max, I saw the first two. So
oh, really?
Cool. Might be worth binging.
Yeah. Do you remember which one you liked more? One or two?
I haven't seen Creed.
No, you haven't seen one or two?
I haven't seen Creed one or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them.
Maybe on like a Saturday morning, watch it and then go to the gym. It'll be like the best workout of your life.
Oh, true.
Oh, dude, when they play at the gym sometimes.
Oh, I actually.
Best cardio.
I did. Yeah. At the EOS I go to, there's the cinema EOS thing.
Yeah.
What is it? What do they call it? Movios?
Movios.
Yeah. I think it was playing there at one point, but I only ran for like 15 minutes. I want to run like 2 miles or something. So
yeah,
I've only seen a little bit of it.
For sure. What are we going to read next week?
Yeah. What are we going to read next week?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because we have like one week before my birthday week, Nathan.
Okay. So,
kind of whatever we want.
Independent book, probably.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Southern Bastards?
I think that's a great idea. I love that book.
Yeah, do you have any other ideas? Because Nathan, it's been over a month without football. And I thought there were no comics.
About football?
About football.
You've read Southern Bastards?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We got to read it.
Yeah. And so and then I heard somewhere that I think in a Jason Aaron interview that he made a book about football. I'm like, fucking way.
It's like high school football.
That's even better.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't have to be NFL. Like, I don't care. It's football.
No. Yeah, let's do it. I don't know if like the first trade will have it, but there's an issue that made me feel sick to my stomach.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the only time I've ever felt that. But I'm pretty sure Southern Bastards is even on.
Surely, right?
Yeah. On Comixology. Yeah. So it's on Comixology, which is good for us.
Just the first one.
Just the first one. Get you sucked in. Let's do it.
Alrighty. Sounds good.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, I saw it on your bookshelf, the third one. I'm like, we should read this. And I like flipped through it and I saw like a football shot. I'm like, this looks sick.
Is that how you found out that it was about football? Or
no.
Heard the interview and then you flipped through?
Heard the interview, then I saw it on your shelf and I didn't know that you'd read it, but I'm sure you've talked about it before.
I wonder how I read it. I think it was digitally first and then was surely, picking up. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Southern Bastards, Jason Aaron, Jason Latour.
Cool. Can't wait.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you are listening and not watching, you should go to our YouTube channel and check it out there.
Much better experience, I think.
Better experience. You can see some of the things we're talking about. It's pretty cool.
See our faces.
Subscribe.
Not bad.
You can follow us on our link. We have a link tree. So follow us on all the things.
Get to all the stuff. Send us the email at traderspod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read.
Yeah. Send us your recommendations.
Yeah. Do you know of a football book?
We need more football books. We should do a sports month. read a hockey book.
That's a lot of manga, Nathan.
That
there's actually a football, like American football manga.
Yeah, there's a volleyball one. There's probably like a frisbee one if you really look.
But like, I feel like American football is mostly just in America, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
And so I thought it was strange that was there, you know?
I don't know of any sports comics. If I saw one, I wouldn't pick it up. So I guess I'm just not familiar with it, but...
Surely there's one that we're missing, like a big one.
That's it for this week.
Yeah, thanks for
listening again. See you next week.
All right, bye.